Let's begin.
In the urban sprawl of Clayton City, Jessica Miller, a 22-year-old university student majoring in psychology, lived alone in a small rented apartment near the campus. Jessica, with her keen intellect, shoulder-length blonde hair, and introverted nature, enjoyed the solitude that her apartment provided, a quiet refuge from the bustling university life. The apartment, while modest, was Jessica's personal sanctuary, adorned with her collection of vintage posters and a well-stocked bookshelf. Her routine involved late-night study sessions, often stretching into the early hours of the morning. One such night, while engrossed in her textbooks, Jessica noticed a peculiar shadow on the wall of her living room. It was a distorted, human-like silhouette that did not align with any object in the room. Initially dismissing it as a trick of the light, Jessica returned to her studies. However, the shadow persisted, changing shapes and appearing to move slightly whenever she wasn't looking directly at it. As the nights went by, the shadow began to take on more distinct and horrifying forms. It morphed into twisted, grotesque shapes, emanating an aura of malice and dread. Jessica's once peaceful apartment felt oppressive, charged with an unseen hostility. Terrified but determined to understand the phenomenon, Jessica began to research the apartment's history. She learned from the building's old caretaker, Mr. Thompson, about a tragic event that had occurred years ago in her apartment. A former tenant had met an untimely and violent end within those very walls. Armed with this knowledge, Jessica's fear turned to resolve. She decided to confront the shadow, setting up a camera to capture its movements and prove that it was more than just her imagination. Night after night, she observed and documented the shadow's behavior, noticing patterns and a chilling intelligence behind its movements. One stormy night, as the shadow writhed and twisted on the wall, Jessica noticed something even more alarming. The shadow seemed to be reaching out of the wall, its form gaining substance and solidity. It was as if the shadow was attempting to break free from its two-dimensional prison. In a panic, Jessica attempted to leave the apartment, but the door wouldn't budge. Windows wouldn't open. Her phone had no signal. She was trapped inside with the malevolent entity that the shadow had become. As the entity emerged further into the room, Jessica could see it in full horror. A spectral figure, its features, a nightmarish blend of human and inhuman elements, eyes glowing with malevolence. It was the manifestation of the tragedy that had occurred in the apartment. A twisted echo of the past. Jessica, realizing that there was no escape, decided to confront the entity. She spoke to it, acknowledging its pain and the tragedy that had given birth to it. As she did, the entity paused, its form flickering in the dim light. In a terrifying climax, the entity lunged at Jessica, enveloping her in darkness. Screams echoed through the apartment, abruptly silenced by a deafening thunderclap. The next morning, the storm had passed, but Jessica's apartment was eerily silent. The shadow on the wall was gone, leaving no trace of its existence or of Jessica. The apartment stood empty, a cold, lifeless space. The tale of Jessica Miller and the shadow on the wall became a whispered legend among the students of Clayton City, a chilling reminder of the unseen horrors that can lurk in the quietest of places.
Let's begin.
In the old sleepy town of Darrowfield, Emily Clark, a 29-year-old freelance writer, had recently moved into an old, charming rental house. The house, with its Victorian architecture and overgrown garden, had a mysterious allure to it. Emily, drawn to the house's unique character and history, was a woman of medium height with striking red hair, always with a look of thoughtful curiosity in her eyes. The house, while spacious and rich in character, had always carried an air of secrecy. Emily often heard strange sounds at night, creaks and groans that she attributed to the age of the house. However, one stormy evening, while searching for a source of a leak during a power outage, she discovered a door to a previously unnoticed basement. Armed with a flashlight, Emily descended the creaky wooden stairs. The basement was vast and cluttered with relics of the past. Old furniture, boxes of books and antiques. It was like stepping into a forgotten era. But what caught her attention was a peculiar, secluded corner of the basement where she found an old altar-like table surrounded by strange symbols etched into the ground. On the table were various artifacts, a tarnished silver dagger, a book with worn leather binding, and an assortment of strange trinkets. Emily's curiosity turned to unease as she realized these objects were related to dark rituals and possibly witchcraft. As she further explored the basement, Emily uncovered an old journal buried beneath a pile of books. The journal belonged to the house's original owner, a woman rumored to be a witch. The entries spoke of rituals performed in the basement, invoking something she referred to as the guardian of the house. The more Emily read, the more the atmosphere in the basement changed. The air grew colder, and the shadows seemed to creep closer. Unsettled, she decided to leave. But as she turned to go, the door to the basement slammed shut, plunging her into darkness. Panicked, Emily tried to open the door, but it wouldn't budge. The sounds of whispers filled the basement, and the symbols on the ground began to glow with an eerie light. From the shadows, a form began to materialize, a dark, spectral figure, its features obscured, but its intent malevolent. Emily realized that the rituals in the journal had awakened something sinister, a guardian spirit bound to the house, now corrupted and malevolent. The spirit, angered by the intrusion, blamed Emily for disturbing its rest. The basement transformed around her, the walls seeming to close in, and the artifacts on the table rattled as the spirit's presence grew stronger. Emily, desperate to escape, remembered a line from the journal about appeasing the guardian. She grabbed the silver dagger, cutting her palm and offering her blood as a sign of respect. The ritual only angered the spirit further. It lashed out, its form becoming more tangible, a swirling mass of shadows and terror. Emily was thrown against the wall, the spirit's icy grip tightening around her throat. In her last moments, Emily's screams echoed through the house, lost in the storm outside. When the storm passed, the house stood silent. The door to the basement sealed as if it had never been there.
Let's begin.
In the quiet suburb of Ashwood Falls, Sarah Bennett, a 30-year-old single mother, lived with her 7-year-old daughter Lily in a cozy 2-story house. Sarah, with her practical mindset, shoulder-length chestnut hair, and protective nature, had always felt secure in their home. A sanctuary for her and Lily. Their peaceful life began to unravel when Sarah noticed a figure watching them from a window in the abandoned house across the street. The figure, a silhouette barely discernible in the dim light, was motionless and eerie. Sarah initially dismissed it as a trick of the light or her imagination. As days passed, the figure became a constant, unsettling presence. It seemed to be watching Sarah and Lily at all hours, its gaze never wavering. Sarah's concern grew when Lily began talking about the man in the window who watched her play in the yard. Determined to protect her daughter, Sarah contacted the police. However, when they investigated, they found the house empty with no sign of any occupants. The officer suggested it was probably a squatter and assured Sarah they would patrol the area more frequently. Despite the police's reassurances, the figure continued to appear, each night coming closer to their home. It no longer stayed confined to the window, but was seen standing in their yard, staring up at their house. Panicked and desperate for answers, Sarah decided to confront the figure. One night, armed with a flashlight and pepper spray, she crossed the street to the abandoned house. The house was in a state of decay, the air stale and heavy with dust. As she searched the house, Sarah stumbled upon a room filled with old photographs and newspaper clippings, all of them about her and Lily. The walls were covered with notes and ramblings, detailing their daily routines and moments. It was a shrine of obsession. In a terrifying realization, Sarah recognized the figure as her ex-husband and Lily's father, Michael, whom she had left years ago due to his abusive behavior. He had been watching them, living in the shadows of the abandoned house. Before Sarah could escape to call for help, Michael emerged from the shadows, his appearance haggard and unhinged. He spoke of wanting to be close to them, to watch over them. His obsession had driven him to madness. In a heart-pounding chase, Sarah fled through the house with Michael in pursuit. She managed to evade him and rushed back to her home, frantically locking the doors and calling the police. But it was too late. Michael had followed her. He broke into the house, his determination turning violent. Sarah fought desperately to protect Lily, but Michael overpowered her. As the police sirens wailed in the distance, Michael's actions escalated to a deadly climax. The police arrived to find a scene of horror. Sarah lay motionless, her efforts to protect her daughter ending in tragedy. Lily was found hiding, traumatized, but unharmed. Michael had vanished into the night, leaving behind a trail of terror and sorrow. The house across the street stood silent, the watcher's presence gone but forever imprinted in the memories of Ashwood Falls.
Thank you for being here when you have so many other options.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Allo or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.